Hey guys, and welcome to the German History Podcast. Today, I'm going to be speeding through a lot of early German history to set up the foundation for the narrative. First of all, we need to establish who the Germanic people were, and what Germany was in ancient and classical times. This question is actually a lot more complicated than it seems at first glance. Keep in mind that I refer to these people as Germanic right now, but that a true identity or unity for them has yet to materialize. But I'm going to refer to the people in the area of Germany as Germanic for the sake of simplicity until we establish their culture. Most scholars agree that most of the people of that area descended from the Indo-Europeans that migrated there approximately 5000 BC. That date is a heavy approximation, however, due to a lack of records and the obscure time period. Things start to get a little clearer when we enter something called the Nordic Bronze Age. This period occurred between 1700 and 500 BCE. This is the first age that seems to possess a more distinct culture in the area of Germany. Now, when I say Germany, this isn't entirely accurate either. The area that it encompasses is more in the area of Scandinavia, encompassing modern-day Denmark and parts of Norway and Sweden. However, the Nordic Bronze Age also creeps into modern-day northern Germany, and these are the peoples that the Germans would descend from after migration south, and so this era is often cited as the first era of the Germanic peoples. In later years, the Nordic Bronze Age tribes would migrate south and push the Celts out, establishing the Germanic culture separate from the Celts. Now, it would probably be bad if I didn't take the chance now to explain the Celts here and their relationship to the Germans. The Celts originated in modern-day Austria, or southern Germany, I guess you could say, a little south of that. Over time, they pushed west and spread their culture and Druidic religion to a great deal of Europe, most notably Gaul and Britain. They also spread into Germany, but there, the culture didn't stick. The Nords migrated south and pushed the Celts out, and it would be the culture of the Nordic Bronze Age that would stick in Germany and define the Germanic culture, forever distinguishing them from their Celtic counterparts. That being said, the Nordic Bronze Age was defined, naturally, by the use of bronze weaponry. What's noteworthy is the lag in technological advancement in comparison to Greece and Rome. Many European cultures were entering the Iron Age, yet due to the distance and rugged terrain, trade was more limited with the south, and the technological advancement rate was slower. However, the people of the Nordic Bronze Age were not unified at all, and advancement did not occur at the same rate. Individual tribes almost certainly advanced quicker than others, and the pressure from other tribes to improve weaponry would have certainly facilitated advancement. There is also evidence that seafaring was an important part of these people's lives as well. Small wooden boats known as, and bear with me on pronunciation here, Hjortspring boats were found throughout this period. Based on archaeological evidence, we can determine that these boats were likely used for trade and transportation in the Baltic. In addition to the large number of these boats, many stone mounds that resemble boats have been found on land as well that resemble the Hjortsprings. These are believed to be involved in burial rites and religious rituals, perhaps serving as tombs for people of importance in the tribe. Since the people were putting religious emphasis on their seagoing craft, one can only assume that this was a crucial aspect of their life, perhaps laying the foundation for the Viking raiders that would come thousands of years later to harass the civilized Christians of Europe. But I think I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. Archaeology reveals more clues to their religion, which I find fascinating, by the way. Many stone cave drawings and carvings are found in this period that are almost reminiscent of the prehistoric Neolithic peoples and the Indo-Europeans. It's not entirely sure if these all possess religious significance or whether they're just an expression of art. However, some of them have religious implications for sure. A pair of twin gods consistently reappears in the drawings, and it is assumed that these were deities of importance that they revered through their drawings. In addition to this, sacrificial items and people, yes, people, we'll get to that soon, are almost always found in pairs, suggesting a connection to the twin gods that consistently appear in other venues. Many sacrifices are also seen to be performed and buried near water, giving the impression that certain bodies of water were viewed as holy places to these peoples, and further emphasizing the importance of the sea. Although this is a little off-topic, it is in this time period that images of the hammer start to appear, and it is theorized that this is the beginning of the god Thor in Norse mythology, and I think that's pretty awesome. As I'm sure you've already gathered, there was no written language whatsoever. And that's why we have to rely entirely on archaeology for all our information. No unity seemed to be found at all, and even though they seemed to share a common culture and perhaps a similar language group, that was absolutely as far as their uniformity went. In more ways than one, the theme of a common culture, but zero political unity, will be the defining theme among the German people for thousands of years to come. As the Bronze Age winded down to a close in Scandinavia and Germania, the Iron Age began to take hold as more and more tribes began to adopt iron weaponry. This probably occurred gradually, between 600 BCE all the way until the turn of the millennia. Now keep in mind that the transition to iron weaponry didn't happen all at once and that tribes advanced at different rates, as I previously said. It is entirely possible that the Romans even came into contact with a handful of bronze-wielding Germans, just because of the time it took for every last struggling tribe to catch up. In addition to the use of iron weaponry, there were other significant changes in this time period. What's noteworthy is the idea of the sound shift. The sound shift was a period when the languages of that area started to shift to a point where the Germanic tribes of the area were mutually intelligible with one another. This date is impossible to calculate, however, and the exact time when the common language of the Germanic people began to form is unknown. This was another factor that one would think would bring the people more together, but to no avail. It's not like this was a problem unique to the Germans at the time, though. The Celtic culture had spread all over Europe, and they still operated almost exclusively under the tribal system, with a few notable exceptions. It makes one wonder why empires and kingdoms had existed for so long in other parts of the world, yet Northern Europe remained entirely politically inadequate. The main difference can likely be found in the geography of where the barbarians, for lack of a better word, were located. Rome and Greece were in the midst of the Mediterranean and highly connected to the East and other cultures, whereas the northern tribes were not, allowing them to stay in a similar state of political composition for thousands of years. But now I'm getting just a little bit off topic and I need to keep forward progress on the Germans. Okay, so around 800 to 600 BC, the exact date is unknown, climate changes were forcing the Scandinavians to find new land. These migrations would create a pattern of expanding and spreading Germanic culture, even after the climate changes had finished. The most notable expansions were to the south. The Germanic culture was pushing further down, and it was merging and supplanting the Celtic culture that had currently resided there. The general idea of the area of land we think of as Germany was starting to form as the tribes of a similar Germanic culture started to settle in that area. It is at this time that the Germans appear in the historical records. A Greek named Pytheas from the colony of Massalia took a massive exploration journey around 325 BC. He traveled to northern Europe by sea and wrote a chronicle of his journeys known as On the Ocean. Creative, I know. Tragically, this work is lost, but it's often cited by other Greek and Roman historians, thus proving its existence, if not necessarily proving its accuracy. However, his accounts and maps, when put under modern scrutiny, have held up remarkably well for the time his voyage allegedly took place, and it is on this voyage that he enters the Baltic and lands to explore Germany. He claims to have explored by land all of northern Germany, and he describes in particular a tribe that he visited known as the Gutones, or as our equivalent, the Goths. Now don't get too excited, there's not really any evidence that this is the same tribe or even related to the tribe we know as the Goths. After all, there's like a 500-year gap between them, but it's still cool nonetheless. Even though this little trip may seem insignificant to German history as a whole, and practically speaking it was, it's important because this is the first time the civilized world had made contact and documented the Germanic culture. The tribes seemed to mostly cooperate with Pytheas, and this wouldn't necessarily be the trend as the Germans came into conflict with the Greco-Roman world in the future. Oh, and by the way, if you've never heard of Pytheas' journey before, you really should go look it up. It's totally epic, and he documents everything from the Arctic Circle to new animals, and there's way more information that I don't really have time to cover here. This is where I'm going to stop here for this episode. When we pick up next time, and I say next time because I'm not entirely sure what my schedule is going to look like for this podcast yet, we'll start with Gaius Marius' conflicts with the Cimbri and the Teutones. This is when things will start to get good, and we can ease into a steadier pace. This is my first podcast, and whoever's listening, I just want to thank you for making it this far. If you thought it was a bit rough, that's because it was. But I'm going to improve as I get more podcasting experience under my belt, so please bear with me. If you enjoyed it, I really hope that you'll subscribe to the podcast, especially since I don't have a schedule written in stone yet, and you won't have to worry about checking your feed to get the next episode. And one more thing, if you like this podcast, please go to iTunes and give it a rating. This is the primary way the podcast can be discovered by people, and I would be in your debt. If you want to get in contact with me for any questions, comments, or criticisms, hit me up at germanhistorypodcast@hotmail.com. Thank you guys so much for listening, and I hope you join me next time for some great German-Roman war. See ya.